Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of pathetic humans like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom. From comics and video games to science and technology, if it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Boar.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm John.
Wow, guys, it's been a while since we've had a regularly scheduled Nerdy Show program, at least with me in it.
Woo! Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I came in here and took over, what, a month ago or however long ago Cap that was.
Mid-November feels like a year.
it really does.
Yeah, I was at North Carolina Comic Con. We're going to be talking about that a little bit. We've got plenty of nerd news and discussions to share. But I guess before we do that, let's talk about what we've been doing. We got to catch up. It's been ages. And ages. It feels like it's been ages.
Forever.
It does feel like it's been ages.
Lots of traveling has happened for most of us, actually. Nikki, you went to BlizzCon.
Yeah, I got to go to California for the very first time. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen, experienced, and then let alone it was BlizzCon. And I've been to so many different conventions before, but honestly, this has to be the best one I've ever experienced, ever.
It seems like it's on a different level from most conventions.
It's very... I guess the best way to put it is, like, you go to things like Comic-Con, Mega-Con, where there's, like, a huge shopping area, but then you also have, like, different, like, places you can go to and, like, panels. This wasn't really like that. There was, like, a main theater.
I mean, it's a convention specifically for a gaming company, a singular company.
Exactly.
And there's kind of a high barrier to entry because it's not the cheapest convention to go to.
Every single human being in that building... has something in common with you because you're all there for the exact same reason.
Right.
You play Blizzard games.
You're not wandering the halls and being like, I have no idea what anime that's from.
Oh. Right? Like, who are you? Yeah. Like it's very...
Oh, you mashed up three characters I've never heard of? Cool.
It was honestly, it was truly amazing. I never felt anything like that before. I've never seen anything like that before. Where usually I go to a convention, I have my group of friends, I might meet one or two people at the convention, but that's about it. Here, every place I went to, we sparked conversations with people and ended up having like a little group in those spots. You know?
Hey, you ever hear of StarCraft?
What's that? what in the world? But yeah, what was really cool is like, even though it was BlizzCon and it was the 10th BlizzCon, and so they were making a big deal about that, you know, they were also having their world championships there. Like the
world championships for all
every
games?
Single one of
I
their games.
I know I saw Overwatch and World of Warcraft, they had like a PvP tournament, and they probably had some sort of a StarCraft Korean dominated tournament.
StarCraft. That, it was so Korea versus Korea.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It wasn't even a world championship. It was just Korea.
Well, they fill up stadiums over there full of people watching StarCraft players. So I imagine... Given that
the
level of enthusiasm, we just don't have people that strive for that over here.
It was just so cool. Like, I wish I could like feed you guys mind images of what the inside of this place looked like because it was so awesome. And
where were you for starters? What city was this in?
It took place in Anaheim.
Okay.
I think it was Anaheim.
At the Anaheim Convention Center across from Walt Disneyland?
Exactly, yes.
Okay,
yes,
that's, yes, where, yes. That's where Star Wars Celebration was a year ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
which,
awesome.
Which is, much like BlizzCon, a great show because you have something in common with everybody there.
Yeah.
I like shows like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Do you know the big dome building that they have? That's where the StarCraft Arena was in... Holy shit.
Like, I guess for perspective people, a nerdy show, this is an uncensored program. We know that.
Sorry, I forget.
The fuck are you thinking?
For perspective, it's like, this is the kind of venue where you might see a very, very prominent band or performer play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we had a Weird Al.
What?
Yeah, Weird Al.
Weird Al closed
the
show.
He did the close.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, and then okay. So I don't know if I got to tell. Are you guys blah 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 blah?
I am very 100%.
You're a huge fan of that, right? Yeah,
totally. I am down with that. Every
Game
night.
Of Thrones. Jeez. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Okay. So.
Oh yeah.
Hodor. DJ Hodor.
I've heard that the guy who plays Hodor is a DJ. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a big party that night.
Cool.
And so I got to like walk outside of the hotel we were staying at, and then all of a sudden there's DJ Hodor just like laying down. I didn't even understand what I walked outside into before I even got to the convention, you know. It
took a while for your mind to wrap around what was happening.
It really was mind-blowing. But
I've heard he's quite good. Like, he's genuinely very good DJ.
Yeah, I've actually heard mixed review, because like when I saw him and they were like, oh yeah, he's a DJ, but I hear he sucks. Like, everybody was telling me he sucks, but then I was there and I really enjoyed the music he was playing. So I was just like, I don't think he sucks, but I don't know what.
Everybody has their own weird little musical tastes. And, yeah. You know, maybe,
and some of my friends don't even get electronic
really into
music,
one specific genre of music or something. And they're like, oh, he doesn't fully understand this genre. And, you know, as they push their glasses up. And,
yeah.
You never know with music fans, you know.
For sure.
As long as you had fun, that's what matters.
Yep. And you got to try out like a bunch of different characters.
No, I did not. I wasn't there.
Shush. I'm sorry.
Oh.
You're just going to make me feel guilty for the rest of my life. No.
Yeah, she didn't take me with her.
I know.
And I keep giving
I'm
her
sorry.
So folks,
that.
Folks who were there got to,
yes.
got to try out different characters. And
for all the different games, they pretty much had something new for you to try out. Like with the Overwatch game, you got to try the new character Sombra, which now anybody can play. But at the time, it was just announced. So.
And they pulled out some retro class for Diablo, right?
Yeah.
Necromancer.
The Necromancer.
Yeah. Did they have that playable?
Yeah. Yeah, if you went to the Diablo area.
I imagine it was probably like playing Diablo 2 with it updated graphics.
Well, actually, they're doing exactly that, if I remember correctly. They're
putting Diablo 1,
yeah.
At least part of it, into the Diablo 3 engine, yes.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I knew.
That's something they announced there, but maybe
you... I didn't catch that. That one probably flew right over my head. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, they had the Necromancer for Diablo, Sombra for Overwatch. You could play Ragnaros and Varian, which Ragnaros now...
For Heroes of the Storm?
No, Varian.
Yeah, for Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, Heroes of the Storm. I think you can already play
Apparently
Varian.
Apparently after they die in World of Warcraft, then they ascend to Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to me that Blizzard can sustain this, that they're... I mean... Nintendo could do this. Nintendo could do this even bigger
for
than
sure.
Blizzard could, but Ooh. Who else could do it? Not many people. Not many companies could do this kind of thing. Like, because you're speaking a language here that many people listening
Nintendo,
might not even connect with. They might not even,
sure.
you know.
If Nintendo did it, I feel like it would be really, like, bizarre, because, like, the demographics would just be all over the place
sure
for Nintendo. Like,
which is why
you'd have, like, 3-year-old kids showing up like, I like Mario, you know, and
that's why instead of doing it, they're opening up, you know, Nintendo Land at Universal Studios instead of
that makes probably more sense. Yeah.
But they could do it financially. They could do it.
Yeah. They do have money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, to like wrap things out, I would say the other best things about this was the fact that even though they had a store where you could buy things online and then just go and pick things up, it really wasn't about the shopping. It was about going. They gave you a box. I don't know if that was specifically for just the 10-year anniversary of BlizzCon.
But you came in the studio tonight with this huge box, like a loot crate full of exclusive stuff.
Just for having a BlizzCon ticket, just a regular BlizzCon ticket. You didn't have to be VIP or anything like that. going in, we went a day ahead of time to get the box, so we weren't carrying around this thing all day. But yeah, you got a World of Warcraft
coaster.
Thank you. One side's Alliance, one side's Horde. You got a Hearthstone microfiber cloth that has like cool images on both sides of it for whatever you're using. You got Major League Gaming bottle opener for if
for
you
all
drink.
Those bottles that you need to open while you're Major League Gaming, obviously.
Yeah, you got a little antenna topper from StarCraft that was a
Oh, that's an antenna topper?
Yeah,
and like an antenna ball.
Yeah, it's an Overseer antenna topper.
Man, but I don't think I would put that outside my car. People would
they
just
also,
probably just steal that.
For people who didn't want to do that, they have like a little bouncy thingy that you
I
can
could see
stick
putting
it
on my
else.
Desk.
Right, exactly.
On top of that spring suction cup thing you got there, but putting that on my car, no.
Yeah, so they had a bunch of like cool things, like these Diablo D20 dice set.
Oh,
this
yeah.
bag is pretty sweet.
Yeah, and they use the original Diablo font for every single number.
It's a full role-playing set of dice, but I mean, obviously quite expensive because the entire thing was a custom etch job for the whole... We've made dice here. I know what a pain in the ass it is to do that.
But then, you know, the ultimate was the custom Blizzard Stein.
Not to be confused with Jill Stein. It's a...
No.
This is a drinking kind.
Yeah, and it has 10 epic years on the side, and then it has all 6 game logos throughout, and even, like, etched in, like, there's metal accents all over it. Yeah,
It's an authentic Stein. It's, like, it's metal, it's clay, it's premium quality. It's ludicrous that this just came complimentary with your ticket.
Exactly.
How much was your ticket? How much does it cost to go to this thing?
Okay, so technically... okay, I'm going to go through 3 little things for you. Technically, I think the tickets only started at like $100, maybe $200 at the most.
It's a jump, okay.
But I don't think so.
It
I don't think
so. Might
have
been double what I originally said.
I thought they were $200, but I think that might have been the VIP. But then my roommate, he's saying it was like $100 a ticket.
Uh-huh.
But then because of the fact that they sold out within like the first hour or two, you know, like the first day that they went on sale, we ended up having to buy Hawked tickets.
So you got them secondhand.
So we got this is making up for the price that it actually really was. I think they were $400 a ticket.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow.
But for the 10-year anniversary, BlizzCon.
I mean, it sounds like you had a great time.
Oh,
so.
No. It was definitely the most amazing thing I've experienced in a very long time, if ever.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Money well spent then.
Yeah, this right here I'd pay for $100 for. So.
That's the Stein that she's holding there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
You should have said it was the antenna topper.
You're right. That would have been good improv, but alas.
Oh, and did I tell you I got to play a developer in Hearthstone? Like a Hearthstone developer was there in the Hearthstone Tavern where you could go and play Hearthstone. And right in the middle
they
had... Oh,
you got to play against one. I was like, they let you edit the code?
There was like a Last Supper size table and you were sitting at the ends of them, you know, and it was streamed. You had a laptop and they were preset decks, and they had a developer that you would have to like sit for hours and wait to get to challenge them. Me and my roommate did it. I lost, but I was so happy I still got to do it. And then he ended up actually beating him.
Oh yeah.
He ended up beating him, but it was because the developer ran out of cards.
Oh.
And it ended up just taking all of his life till my roommate ended up winning. But that is still something to like hold on to. That game lasted probably an hour or so.
Did they swap out developers? I imagine that they would get kind of
they did
burned
like
out after
the,
a while.
Yeah, I think they spend like half the day. Like I think overall, like throughout the day, every time I went in, like from one half to the other, there was a new developer, but
gotcha,
it was never the same guy twice.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that would be really
an endurance test.
Yeah, endurance test, just playing this one game over and over and over against random
that
people
awesome,
all day.
But yeah, that was...
I'm
that
glad
was,
they're passionate
it.
About it, though, or getting paid well, one of the two.
How about you, John? What you been up to?
I've been VRing. VRing in Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, okay, so first of all, you should probably tell everybody what Elite Dangerous is, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know.
Oh my god, it's like Microsoft Flight Simulator, except for space.
Whoa!
I think I might have briefly talked about Elite Dangerous at some point, but it was very briefly, and I think that my whole takeaway was, holy shit, it's hard to fly, and I got a refund after about 2 hours because I couldn't figure out how to get away from the space station without crashing into everything.
Now, which VR do you have?
He's got the Vive.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just recently got the PlayStation 1.
How's that working out for you?
Oh, it's freaking awesome. If you ever get to play Rush of Blood, play it. It's the scariest thing.
What is that?
It's a straight up virtual reality. It's almost like a carnival ride. And then there's like evil clowns at first. You think that's all you're going to get is like evil clowns, the whole thing. So I'm like, I'm not afraid of clowns. Boom, boom, boom. And then it just keeps getting more and more effed up as you play. And some of it has literally been like, I feel like I'm looking at shots from nightmares I've legitimately had where I'm like, no, I literally can't finish this one. You're taking over. I'm about to cry.
So it's like is it a first person shooter?
How is my mom?
Yeah, pretty
in this?
Much. Yeah, you got your two little things. You can see your hands moving in front of you. It's all pretty legit. My favorite thing is like being Batman. There's a game where you just.
What?
Yeah, you can be Batman. You put on the suit. You don't really do much. Other than
you have
like
to talk like this the whole time.
You go down tunnels.
That's the experience.
You get to put on the suit. It's awesome. I do talk like
that. You have to put on the suit.
Batman.
Virtually put on the suit. Don't forget to zip your bat fly. Tweak your bat nipples.
So yeah, I'm loving all the new virtual reality stuff, so that's why I had to ask which one you had. Yeah.
Well, hey, John, how the hell do you fly a spaceship using the HTC Vive controls? Is it like a stick? What is it?
No. It's like, because it's basically, they made it for, of course, the Oculus and the Vive.
Ah.
So it's a seated experience. I used to actually have a joystick, but it's been kind of weird, broken, and not quite functioning correctly. So I actually wind up using the keyboard. But yeah, no, flying in a 6 DOF is kind of interesting. That's degrees of freedom.
I was just going to ask, 6 degrees of freedom. Okay, so that's
you can
like
move in all three spatial axes and rotate in all three rotational axes.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it's annoying as hell, especially on a keyboard and mouse. Like, holy shit! So,
but what's absolutely insane is if you go out like and get in a dogfight, you're having to steer in full 6 DOF. Like the other guy is going to be doing it, so you also have to be able to turn and also like fire your other thrusters to like move around and reposition.
I'm getting that this is extraordinarily difficult. That's the vibe I'm getting here.
Well, the good thing
is if
you purchase it on Steam, as long as you don't play it for more than 2 hours, you can get a full refund. So. Huh.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's with everything on Steam. So I honestly didn't know that. That's how I wound up not wasting money on
this
game.
That's a bore pro tip.
Pro tip, get all your money back.
but you dig it, John.
Well, yeah, but like here's the whole thing. Like, as I said, flight simulator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is like you're steering normally with your mouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to look around in the cockpit, and so it creates this problem normally where they have like a toggle button to change between your head control and the ship control, and that's
really hated that.
That sounds terrible. Yeah, but when you have a helmet on, not a problem.
When you got a helmet on, you can just freaking look around, and if you're in like a fighter jet, you have a full glass cockpit. Man, you can freaking like you're in a dogfight. You just fucking look behind you.
Yeah,
you can see them, so you don't even have to like use your instruments quite the same way. I mean, obviously, using your instruments is still probably a pretty good idea. It shows you where everybody is around you, but like, it's just absolutely insane experience to be able to see everything in 3D, to see the ships, you know, just look up and over. In fact, the only problem I've had is, and normally this isn't a problem, but in a dogfight, it's horrible. Is like if you look to your left, it opens up a menu.
Oh.
And then it kind of like overrides like a handful of like your WASD kind of commands.
Annoying.
I'm sure if I, had a joystick, that wouldn't be a problem because that would be obviously a dedicated thing and I'd have the keyboard separate and I'd probably not even notice that as being a thing.
Let's see. That kind of sounds like it's a terrible book that I hate, but Ernest Cline's Armada, which is sort of like Last Starfighter mashed up with a bunch of other movies. We did a recent episode about Nerdy Show Book Club if you're interested in finding out why I greatly dislike that book, but it does in it describe a space sim video game that it sounded like something I'd like to play, and but very challenging, and it and using a VR headset as a core component of doing it.
Giggity.
Doing it right. So I mean, that does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, and like I said, though, I mean, there's like, you can go mining. You actually have to, like, blow off pieces of rock from asteroids and then actually manage to get it in your cargo hold.
That's
like, physically
awesome.
Fly and scoop it.
The best thing about that game is the level of detail in the game. And the worst thing about the game is the level of detail.
Yeah. No, there's like very little game abstraction. You're doing everything. It's like, okay, I'm
going to where's the button to open the landing gear?
And, you know.
It's ridiculous.
Well,
to make my charts.
There's like a different button for like opening the landing gear compartment versus actually putting the landing gear down. Like, there's just a ridiculous amount of...
Well, these days that is a toggle, but you can also access it through the menu system on the right. That's the whole thing. So normally it's like I have to like look right and then, you know, like navigate through the menus and access like the landing gear stuff. Like,
you know? Well, how about you, Boar? What you been doing?
Oh man, I got back from like, I think I took like a 9 or 10 day trip up back home to Northern Illinois, where I was born, out in the middle of a cornfield, getting back to my roots, having Thanksgiving with the family. And yeah, you know, I actually...
Did you shoot an animal?
I did not, but there was a lot of talk from people that I know that they were out shooting animals. So I wasn't very disconnected from that. But
did you drink some pop boar?
I did. I did get to see a gigantic buck. So I saw like a big old white-tailed deer with giant antlers during one of my drives there. So
was he the one who offered you the pop?
No, he did not.
Oh,
no. He didn't like...
He probably would have...
He didn't pull out a...
Popped out the headlight in my
car. A bottle
of
pop, and then he like lowered his antlers, and you just cracked it open on his antlers.
That's exactly how I envisioned it.
I have been in soda country so long that when somebody asked me if I wanted a pop while I was back there, I was
that,
like...
Is that a new street drug?
I was like, what? What? All right.
What, a pop? I'm like, are you about to punch me? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I used to get into conversations about soda versus pop all the time when I was still in my transitional phase, when I would still say it occasionally down here. But... Yeah, that's the thing, is people in that say pop, they seem to not care what you call it. Like, if you say, can I have a soda? They're like, yeah, whatever. But if you come from an area where it's, you just say soda natively, and somebody says pop, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? And that, yeah, I experienced that a lot when I was still coming out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just makes me think of like Dirty Pop from NSYNC. Dirty pop.
I'm just glad that I don't
like that flavor.
That I don't come from a place where they'd call everything Coke. That would drive me insane.
Huh.
Like, what kind of Coke do you want? Pepsi? Okay, we got that. You know, like that would drive me insane.
I didn't know that was a thing.
What kind of Coke do you want?
Oh,
Sprite?
Oh, yeah, you're looking for a Tootsie over there.
Yeah, Tootsie. If someone came up, what kind of Coke do I want? That would probably, I'd be like, if I have options, they must be talking drugs.
Columbia,
I don't know.
Pure, not stepped on. I watch Miami Vice. That's why I know these things.
I like it.
But I'm glad to be back in
soda country.
Soda country, yeah. Got my fill of turkey and family and whatnot, and now we're here screwing around talking about you know random crap that doesn't matter.
Yeah,
so
hey,
here we go.
And if for some reason you still have the Thanksgiving spirit in you, or you just like doing something super duper weird, you should check out our Thanksgiving special from last week.
I mean, I was here for the recording of the entire thing, but when I listened to it probably twice while I was gone, and it got me laughing, and I was here, and every now and then I was like wondering, how the fuck did we come up with this stuff? And hopefully, you know, you go back and listen to that episode and like it even half as much as I do.
We started a little tradition this year, which is every now and then we dial through the multiverse and pick up alternate reality podcasts and radio signals for different weird shows and strange commercials. And we did it in April this year.
I tell you what, it's going to be a good old time. You go back there and listen to that
and learn yourself something about the lizard uprising and how to defend yourself against the lizard uprising. They have penetrated all levels of society, and
100% of all of our multiverse episodes are fantastic. I tell you what. Yeah. Don't listen to them.
So this will have already happened by the time this episode comes out, but the Rogue One tickets finally went on sale. normally we allocate all of our Star Wars conversations for State of the Empire, the Star Wars speculation podcast. We look for news in Alderaan places. But I bring this up because I've been dying to get these goddamn tickets, because it was such a fucking fight to get the Force Awakens tickets last year. And they were just holding on these suckers for so long. I had a dream in the early morning hours about being at a movie theater in line, physically in line to buy tickets. And I don't have a lot of like details left over from it, but it was kind of fascinating because it was a sustained narrative. Every time that my psyche drifted to some other tangential, you know, dream space inside the dream, and this is, I don't recall this ever happening to me, inside
the dream. You lost your place and had to imagine yourself further back in the line.
But inside the dream, I woke up having fallen asleep in the line.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That is interesting.
But that's like shit that you see on TV, but never actually happens.
Sounds like an episode of the Twilight
Zone. Yeah. It was not a boring line dream.
Now, did you notice that time was compressed like Inception style? Like, did the dream seem like it lasted forever?
I mean, yeah, but also I was in line, and lines last forever, especially mm-hmm. nerd lines. Mm-hmm. But there were people like cosplaying in the line and so on. There was discussions that were happening. I'd have someone save my space, and I'd go over and I'd do something. You're going to like this. This movie theater that I was in, they served Pepsi Blue.
Liquid gummy bears.
I was so excited to see that again.
That would be a good dream. I need to have that dream.
I didn't end up getting the tickets, but I'm gonna get them tonight. Oh boy, am I gonna get them tonight. And otherwise, perfect opportunity to bridge into North Carolina Comic Con, which we talked about. We were hyping it up for a long while. It's one of my favorite shows of the year. It's a little con that's grown to pretty substantial proportions. Mostly because they, for the past 2 years, have roped in Gerard Way, lead singer of My Chemical Romance, to appear at the show because he's a comic writer now and a goddamn good one. I've never listened to that band at all, and I've never really had an inclination to, but I like his comic books. DC has given him an entire sub-imprint of their comics, and all four series are out right now. There's Doom Patrol, Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye, Mother Panic, which takes place in Gotham City, which is really cool. And, oh, what am I forgetting? What the hell am I forgetting? Shade the Changing Girl, which is a spectacular book. And many of the people, the creators, the writers, the artists who do these books were there. I met a lot of them for the first time and had a fantastic time speaking with all of them. It's a cool show because it's in Durham, North Carolina, which is a like tech oasis in North Carolina. There's lots of startups there. It's full of really great culture and food, and it's in a hotel in the middle of downtown that has a very good sized convention space, modest, but like enough to have a nice snug little convention there, that has a movie theater and an old historic like performance theater adjacent to it, physically connected to it. Oh, wow. So when you get your ticket, you also get access to a film festival.
Ooh.
In this case, it was playing films selected by all the personalities from Young Animal, Gerard Way's imprint at DC. So films that inspired their books were playing all weekend long.
Oh, wow.
And then it's surrounded by great food. Then there's an old armory across the way where they hosted the Guardians of the Gala big like cosplay dance,
which you hosted,
which I was the host of. Yeah,
wow,
the hostess with the mostest.
We hosted a dance-off slash costume contest to crown the king and queen, and in this case also prince of the ball, because there was a literally knee-high Deadpool there, who that kid's gonna grow up to be something. I don't know what it is, but he had some moves. He had some serious moves, and so I gave him a scepter. Nice. I gave him a plastic dollar store scepter because, damn it, baby Deadpool. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I hosted three panels. They were all a good time. Well, I hosted two panels, and I was on a third panel. I hosted a panel about adaptation, where I talked with Ramon Perez and Rob Venditti, comic writers and artists, both of whom have had their work adapted into major motion pictures, or in Ramon Perez's case, he actually adapted an unused Jim Henson script for a wonderful graphic novel called A Tale of Sand, which won a shit ton of awards a couple of years back. Really wonderful discussion with them about the process of like being in the Hollywood machine and working alongside that. Talked to Tommy Lee Edwards and John Rivera, two artists and writers attached to the Young Animal imprint, about multimedia work, because they are not just comic artists and writers, but they also do work for other stuff. Like John Rivera is a storyboardist for the new Adult Swim series Dreamcore LLC, which if you haven't checked it out, is fan-fucking-tastic. It's super duper weird. Then I was also on a queer comics panel where me and some other folks talked about what's good and bad about queer representation in comic books. We had a great time that we had to turn people away at the door. There was not enough room.
Oh, wow. Hmm. I thought you were about to say for like bad reasons.
No.
I was like, what?
No,
it's 2016, people.
It was a thoroughly positive experience all across the board. And if you're a Patreon backer, you can hear those panels in their entirety. I recorded all of them, and you can listen to all of them.
Awesome.
And that's available even at the dollar level, isn't it?
That's $5.
$5 level. Okay, so but go to Patreon, get to the $5 level, and then you can hear all that bonus content.
Yeah, and they're all an hour long, so that's 3 hours of content in addition to the like hundreds of hours of other bonus content that there is available.
That sounds worth $5 or more.
It sure does.
My money.
So I'm really excited to come back next year. Me and the North Carolina Comic Con folks are already talking about it. So it was great. And also, I should also add, the food in Durham is out of this world. I had a donut at Rise Donuts and Biscuits that blew my mind. It was pineapple, basil, and pistachio, a stuffed donut stuffed with ricotta.
What?
Wow, that sounds kind of awful, but at the same time, it sounds like I also might like it.
It was incredible.
Because I like pineapple. Basil, you lost me a little bit, but then
Like all of these things. I just don't know if I like them all together.
Yeah. It was like an Italian donut.
Was it a sweetened ricotta? Sort of like the inside of a...
Yeah. But also, cannoli is pretty overwhelmingly sweet sometimes.
Yeah.
This was savory enough to make you not feel, you know, gross for having eaten a giant donut just then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, it's great. And Durham's also home to Moogfest. And, so now I get to go to Durham twice a year. I'm thrilled. It's great. I love Durham. Get her Durham. yeah. Oh, yeah, and I also bought a shit ton of rare comic books there.
Nice.
But, like, weird indie stuff. That's my go-to con for weird indie books, like stuff produced in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that I know a guy who gives me a good taste discount, and I'm really grateful for that because they're expensive. Right, so we're just 30 minutes in, we've only been talking about what we've been doing. It's been so long since we've done a proper show. So,
well, yeah, I mean, the multiverse episode, we recorded that like weeks before it actually was released.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of out of it.
Ooh, yeah. Lots of stuff to cover.
Yeah.
Nikki, you saw a movie I really want to see, Arrival, Arrival.
Yeah. Honestly, like I really loved it. I loved the interaction more for like the aliens. Okay. So I guess I should preface a little bit. Well,
yeah, give us a plot.
I've never even heard of this
spoiler-free overview. This movie, I should add, it has really great cinematography from just judging from the trailers. Mm-hmm. This guy's going on, the cinematographer that is going on to be cinematographer for the Han Solo solo film.
Oh. Wow.
Han Solo solo.
Yep.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh boy. And it's a weird project because it's not written and directed. It's just directed by Lord and Miller, the guys who did the Jump Street films and Lego Movie.
Very nice.
Figure out how all these things fit together because I can't.
I don't either. Well, okay. So basically, aliens have come to Earth in 12 different spots. That's what we know. And basically, at this point, we are just trying to communicate with them to understand why they're here. We don't know why they're here. We don't know if they want to learn about us. We don't know if they want to start a war.
Are they humanoid?
Not.
Or are they like blobs or insectoids?
I don't want
the impression that that's spoiler oriented.
I don't see the thing is like I don't recall in the trailers now like if they actually. Gave
I was just
you
wondering if they looked like people and they're just like you know hey we're.
I
don't know
from the trailers. I think I saw a tentacle or something. They're not people.
Yeah. Okay. They look like tentacles. They are not tentacles, but they almost have.
They're penises.
Tentacle-like features. Anyways, no, I'm. They're not humanoid.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah. They're not humanoid. They do not have normal vocal cords. They cannot actually communicate with us in any shape, way, or form.
But it doesn't sound like they're rampaging around just killing willy-nilly either if we're trying to communicate with them.
Right, exactly. Okay. They're here for a reason. We're trying to figure out why. There are ways of communicating with them, but we have to go out of our way to do so. Once we start figuring out why they're here, other things start making more sense that you didn't even realize was going to be a heavy storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was just like a random, like, okay, cool background on these people. Good to know. Like, could have done without that information. But then once you go throughout the movie, you understand why they gave you that information.
Gotcha.
So it was beautiful. It was well written. The acting was amazing. Visually, it truly was great, but there was that side storyline that goes on is honestly pretty depressing. There's lots of feels throughout this movie. I could have done without it then, and I probably will do without it for the rest of my life. I won't see it again.
But you don't have regrets, right? You enjoyed it.
It was a good movie. I just don't have the emotional equipment to go through it again. So all right. That's all I'm going to leave you with right there. So, but I would definitely recommend it. If you like it, it's good. But don't go into it assuming it's going to be this hardcore sci-fi movie. Because even though there are lots of sci-fi elements, action elements, there's also lots of drama, too, that I felt like really took away from that sci-fi that I was going for, you know, that excitement.
Right.
Where it was a very heavy movie.
Huh.
It was very heavy.
The premise sounds an awful lot like Arthur C. Clarke's Childhood's End. They earlier, like, I think actually it was late last year, sci-fi produced a three-part TV miniseries of it, which I didn't like enough to watch past the first part.
Really? I haven't heard of that one before, but I'll have to look into that one.
I'm sure it's a good book, which I also haven't read. I like Arthur C. Clarke a lot.
Okay.
But the premise is the aliens come. We don't know what they're here for. They're just sort of hovering. We got to communicate with them. We don't know how. And then things spiral in a very different direction. But it sounds like the inciting incident of arrival is virtually the same thing.
Yeah, what you're saying right there, even the spiraling part, would give away a lot to this movie.
I'm pretty sure the twist of Childhood's End could not possibly be the same twist as that, because then there would be a lawsuit. But
really?
It's very unique.
Yeah.
It's a very unique twist.
Well, supposedly, there's two things. This movie was based off of a book called The Story of Your Life or The Story of Your Beginning.
Huh.
Or something along those lines, which you wouldn't think going into this movie. But there it is, you know, like. So there's that, but then from what I hear, it's also based off of an episode of an old Twilight Zone, very loosely though, based off of a Twilight Zone episode called, something about To Serve Man or something.
Oh yeah, To Serve Man, yeah.
I hear it's very loosely based on that, but when I'm looking at that and I look at this movie.
Is the subtitle For Dinner?
Okay.
It was an interesting movie. I liked it.
I do really want to check it out.
Most of my culture came from The Simpsons.
Honestly, my favorite part was just the way that the aliens communicated with us. Like, of course, the whole movie is mostly the humans interacting with the aliens. You see it from that perspective. But I think the coolest part is the way that the aliens.
Even on a budget. Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Attempted to communicate with us.
Yeah.
I think that was way more intriguing. And I mean, that's one of the huge points of the movie too, is the communication of things. So.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, in the episode I wasn't on, you guys talked about Doctor Strange.
We did.
I just want to say that it was great and you have to see it in 3D.
I saw it a second time, not in 3D. It was also good, but the 3D, I'm really glad that I did it.
Yeah, it's I will probably seldom to never recommend that, but if your eyes can handle 3D, see it in 3D. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. It's a cinematic spectacle. It's important.
Yeah, like my stepmom loved the movie, and that was like one of the least likely people that I thought would like the movie, and she was like actually recommending it to other people. Like she was like, oh, you got to go see this movie. It was really good.
I am so upset. I haven't seen the movie yet, even though I went to go see the movie. I bought my ticket. It was the very first day we got into California.
Uh-huh.
It was my first time being on a plane since I was 9 years old. So and we had to take two there. So I was extremely just like,
so you fandangoed your tickets like before you got there?
I guess so.
Or something?
No, we bought them at the door. Yeah. I paid for mine.
Okay, now I'm confused.
I'm getting the indication that you fell asleep during it due to jet lag.
Okay. I thought this was going to be like my plane was late sort of a story, like you bought them ahead of time.
No. I went to the movie with a bunch of people, but because they all, I thought we were going to, I got into California around 6-7 o'clock, something like that, maybe even 5.
Well, their time.
Their time. Yeah. Their time. And we didn't go to see the movie until like 11 midnight. I didn't know that I signed up to see it so late.
And that was like 3 a.m. here, so your brain was like...
I drink a coffee going into the movie and I still passed out before anything actually started. All I know is he was a doctor.
He was a doctor.
And it was strange. I'm sure it is.
I woke up a couple times to loud noises and lots of shit happening on the screen. And then I was like, fuck this, and rolled back over and went back to sleep. So I was pretty upset, and I want to go see it again, but I feel like I already paid for my goddamn ticket and I still haven't seen the fucking movie. So why should I have to pay for it again?
You paid for that money. Comfy seat.
Yeah, I paid for a really nice, that was the most expensive nap I've ever taken. Jesus.
Well, hey, since we're talking about money, the entire Nerdy Show Network is listener supported. That means that we rely on you and your generous contributions to keep us alive, not just this show, but all the shows in the Nerdy Show Network.
Also physically alive.
Because we might die
the validation and financial support.
Yeah, I mean, it goes into life stuff. It funds certain aspects of things. It funds a certain portion of the electricity in this house that we're recording out of, you know, real shit.
It literally keeps the lights on.
Life and death here.
Yeah.
Kind of. So the best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and help crowdfund us. It's a monthly subscription, and at different tiers, you get all kinds of kick-ass perks, as we mentioned earlier in this episode. We have a new patron, Mana, who said, "I would like to let you know that your Amazon link is dangerous. In wanting to support the show, I ended up buying $60 worth of Sea Monkey gear to rebuild my brine shrimp empire of old." It's going to be rad.
$60 worth of sea monkeys, wow. Huh?
Those things are spoiled.
She is serious. She is real serious. So she mentioned the Amazon link. And at this time of the year, ooh, such a critical way to help support Nerdy Show. You're already going to be buying stuff on Amazon. If you follow our Amazon links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon, a portion of what you pay to Amazon actually comes back to us.
And like I've said in the past, an easy way to do it is to go on to our support page, right-click that Amazon link, copy it, replace your bookmark to Amazon.com that you normally follow with that link, just paste it on in there, and then every time you click that, you're helping out Nerdy Show.
Yeah.
And you can do it on other people's computers like I have done. And so my girlfriend doesn't know it, but she's supporting the shit out of this show.
And it's guilt-free because she was going to buy that stuff anyway. It's
right. Exactly.
Now and, she's inadvertently
and,
helping
and now
cause.
That I went to, you know, Northern Illinois, you know, several other family members are also supporting the show.
So, brilliant, Bar.
So, well
brilliant.
Done.
Yeah.
Well done, operative.
Yeah.
Now, we actually have a Amazon-related shout-out that was sent to us on the forums. Bor, I believe you have this in front of you.
Yeah, it's from Virus. He says, damn it. Too often I forgot about Nerdy Show's Amazon link when buying my stuff. Bookmark? Yeah, except these days I mainly get to big, obvious sites by starting to type and letting Google complete the word. I think I've sent odd purchases your way here and there, but on Friday I bought an $800 22-inch pen tablet display and actually remembered. I don't know what kind of pennies Amazon gives you, but I hope it's something. I also hope this pen is halfway decent because I really didn't want to drop the $2,500 on Wacom's version.
Yeah, this is one of those tablets that is like fully, it's a visual tablet. It's like writing on a screen if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah.
So this is like premium art stuff. I want to see some fan art, Virus. For one of our shows, I don't know.
That'd
for
be
scale
awesome.
Watchers.
Heck yeah.
Now,
or some underground radio.
Yeah. Ba-da-ba-ba-da! Underground radio!
We did that in the wrong order.
We did.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
So I checked it out. This was on our Canadian store. We have links to Amazon's Canadian store and also the European Union's
Canadian store.
The EU store.
Got nothing but maple syrup in there and some hockey pucks.
Well, yeah, the shipping on maple syrup is great there, but not if you...
What's that all about, eh?
That kind of product apparently gives us 3.35%, which means from that nearly $800 purchase, we got 25 Canadian dollars.
And wow. All you had to do was just click a link and buy the thing he was going to buy anyway.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for doing that.
Now,
that little bit of effort helped out.
I thought folks might be curious, well, hey, if that offered that percent, what stuff gives the most percent? And I didn't actually know that myself. I never bothered to like look at it. So beauty supplies, books, clothing and accessories, houseware, music, outdoor stuff, tools, and most importantly, video games.
Woo!
All give us between 6 to nearly 7%. So those are the
highest
rollers.
Plus, if you
got
Amazon Prime, you're getting yourself a big old discount on buying new video games. Plus, we'd get a little bit of a kickback.
Yeah, it's like what, 20%.
It's like win-win-win.
Yeah. For new games, if you're buying new games on Amazon and you're doing it through our links, you're getting a super cheap deal, and we're getting like 6 to 7% of that.
Plus,
to
they
us.
Do release day shipping if you pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Now,
why go to GameStop? That's what I always say.
We've got some other Amazon recommendations from Jeffrey McSorley. John, I think you have that in front of you.
What?
Fell asleep at the wheel, did you, John?
No, I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I sent you an email with some stuff to read during this segment, which apparently you
Wait,
overlooked.
I'm supposed to read stuff?
Oh, John, you've been out of the
which,
game for far
no.
too long.
Well, that's also a thing.
Well, let me just take the reins on this one. Jeffrey McSorley has two shout-outs, both of them which generously plug ways you can support Nerdy Show. So maybe you know about them, maybe you don't. For example, he says, used your Amazon to pay for my season 7 of The Walking Dead, you know, because no cable means I have to watch it all a day late. Hopefully it helps. And he said that Steve-O from Friday Night Fanfiction suggested this as an option because Jeffrey didn't realize that digital downloads counted too, and they do. That actually gives us 5%. So from that purchase of the entire season 7 of Walking Dead, we got $2.10.
Nice.
And that doesn't seem like much, but legitimately, every little bit helps.
It adds up, you know?
Yeah. See people buying, you know, getting a lot of homewares, just getting crap that they would normally get on Amazon, and it all does add up. We're getting pretty reliably at least $100 a month, at least. And that's great. And it could be more if everybody just, you know, chips in and does it. He also said something else. What
everybody needs to buy these tablets.
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
All artists right here. Just click this link.
Jeffrey said that considering his reach. Okay. So we do another thing through Amazon. It's not just the Amazon links. We sell t-shirts using their Amazon merch services. So if you go to nerdyshow.com/store or nerdyshow.com/shirts, you'll see a full roster of fun and interesting designs from that we've created pertaining to our shows and characters and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, we got to get some scale watchers and some Dilk going on.
We do need to have a Dilk shirt. That's it's dog milk. It's the last clean form of milk in the United States of America.
Sure, it's dog milk.
Yeah. It's clean, pure, clean male dog milk. Now, he sends out, he says, considering my recent purchases of both the Peekathor and Friday Night Fanfiction Game of Thrones style shirt, I submit to you the following PSA. Do you have old shirts that are nerdy but have holes in them, or simply are too stretched out from wearing them over the last 1, 2, or even 5 years? Well, boy, howdy, do I have a suggestion for you. Toss out your old crummy clothes or donate them to the appropriate Salvation Army or Goodwill. Just do Goodwill. Salvation Army hates gays. And replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts. Yes, you heard me right. You too can replace the faded Mario and Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show Network show to support... to support your friends, or even get a Peekathor and astound all around you at the glory that it is. That's a combination of Pikachu and Thor, guys. We got a shirt with that on it. Get it. Come on. It's real dope fresh. And don't forget, they even come in kid sizes. Yes, even Friday Night Fan Fiction. So go ahead, toss out the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace your wardrobe with all the shirts that Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at nerdyshow.com/nerdystore. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Dang.
Now, we also have some shout outs from some fine fans. Take it away, Nikki.
All right. First, I have Kutsu Shida. I'm pretty sure November marks my first patronversary. And while I don't want to make any kind of selfish shout out, I'd still like to say something to commemorate. So, yay.
Woo!
Woo! And then we also have Cerebral Paladin, which says, Nerdy Show dudes, the patron RSS feed is awesome because of the way I typically listen to podcast listening to bonus content involves a bunch of extra steps. With the new feed, it is easy peasy. Loving the network, I will be attempting in all Amazon.com Xmas and will be using the Nerdy Show link to make my purchases. Happy Turkey Day to you and yours, and May the 12th.
What? It says May the twice by accident, but May the 12th watch over you all.
Ah, there we go.
Thanks, Cerebral Paladin. Thanks for using those Amazon links.
And thanks to both of them for supporting us.
Yeah, thank you both.
Yeah.
And happy first patronversary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's Kutsushita. You're just the bee's knees. But he knows it. He knows that. Cerebral Paladin mentioned the Patreon RSS feed. That's a cool new feature on Patreon. So when we deliver our audio perks to you, that means that they come, if you use the RSS feed that Patreon gives you, it's an individual feed for just you. They go directly into whatever podcast aggregator thing you use. Okay. So without having to like check your email or go into Patreon or whatever, it just boom, it's right there on your device. So we're using that now. We use it for Lightning Dogs as well. So yeah, it's a cool thing. Whew. John, you ready to talk about some stuff? You've been quiet.
Are you?
You've been quiet, son. Let's talk about gene splicing. You're a SciTech guy. You're a number one chief boss hog SciTech fella. So,
Boss Hog.
Boss Hog. Yeah, it's a Dukes of Hazzard reference, though.
I'll be one of the good old boys that he chases.
I don't really have any relationship with that program. I just think it's a funny combination of words.
It is.
So let's talk about gene splicing, because you found some very interesting breakthroughs recently that I was thrilled by.
Well, I mean, okay, so here's the whole thing. We've been gene splicing for decades now, right? Like, I mean, you know, genetically modified rats, they glow in the dark. Isn't that crazy?
I can hop down to a store, I can eat a grapple. That's dumb, but we can do it.
Well, right, isn't that exactly. Just flavoring injected into an apple?
Of course, we weren't actually fantastically great at it, and a lot of it was, you know, hit or miss.
Okay.
Like, I have this gene sequence I want to put in this organism, but will it actually get in the right place?
Okay.
Big question. So then they came out with, like, CRISPR/Cas9, and that allowed people to actually genetically splice in the gene sequence that they wanted into the correct place. But apparently,
CRISPR-Cas9, is that a process or a machine?
Well, it's not a machine. It's I guess you could call it a process. It's basically a way of working with the biological mechanisms.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So it's like a method.
Well, you know, everything in biology is wet, so to speak.
Right.
It's
in the meat.
You're synthesizing custom proteins and various other things, and you're like, okay, well, this does this part and that. It's a cocktail, you know? And
emphasis
also
on the
protocol.
Cocktails getting there, getting all wet.
Load too many more innuendos into this.
Right?
But I'm sure you could.
You can die trying.
But so the whole thing about it is, though, is that let us actually get a gene sequence that we wanted where we wanted it, which was already like incredibly valuable. However, apparently, and I didn't realize this about CRISPR, it really only works particularly well in dividing cells. So it's exploiting the actual dividing machinery to, in other words, actually exploiting the copying mechanisms of the cell itself to put these new gene sequences into where they're supposed to go.
That makes sense. The genes are a little bit less protected during that stage anyway.
Well, right? Exactly. So. But that winds up being the whole problem because, you know, neurons almost never divide. So we've only found out recently that they even repair or have any sort of real, you know, we used to think that they were like frozen, and for a good reason, because the vast majority they are. So this new process called HITI, which stands for Homology Independent Targeted Integration, actually allows us to exploit this non-homologous end-joining. So we can actually use this part of the cell's repair routine to actually integrate the cells into a basically otherwise static non-dividing cell.
Now, what you're talking about is essentially like full-blown sci-fi genetic writing.
Like we can do brain, heart, liver, muscle tissues, like pretty much whatever now.
It's like it's opened the door to like,
right.
Hey, what do you want to change today? What do you want to screw around with? What you want to make a super person? You want to give them like crazy strength? Let's do it.
Well, right. I think that's
with getting like some of those immortal oysters or clams or whatever and integrating that into my DNA so that way I could live forever and occasionally I might poop out a pearl.
That's right.
Yeah,
we just
a bonus.
Ate a 500-year-old pearl.
Yeah.
Thanks, Boar.
No problem.
It's a whole different kind of anal bead.
That shit must be tight. Good job.
So you were saying, so, John.
Like, what?
How long would you have to keep a little bit of sand up there? No, never mind. Let's move on.
Well, you can actually use a lot of different things for nucleation, you know.
Oh, interesting. So it could actually start from an anal bead.
The majority of ground pearls actually come from freshwater pearl-making mollusks in, I think it was like the Colorado River. So they're actually imported, ground up, and used in the famous Japanese cultured pearls.
Oh. Weird.
Anyway, well,
the more
there's
you
a little
know.
Bit of America in every Japanese pearl.
Wow. I guess there you go,
sorry?
Folks.
Sorry, I don't.
We got a quality export from America. Who knew? Hey, but so I'm assuming this is going to have application towards like
pretty much
medical
everything.
Diseases. Well, pretty much everything. But like the first thing is going to be treating like chronic genetic diseases of some kind.
Right, of course, because nobody else is going to want to sign up for a experimental procedure, right?
We're not anywhere near that phase, are we?
Cured blindness in mice, so I mean,
what? It's,
oh hell,
you know, yeah. And, I mean, obviously, that always depends.
It only got two
blindness.
Out of three of them, though.
But it's really really crazy though, because like this new HITI process actually, if they develop something like let's say that was even better than CRISPR for targeting, it could actually work with that then. And so we've basically gotten another piece of the puzzle in being able to target this. Not only that, but it's actually 10 times more effective at converting cells to, in other words, actually correctly gene splicing than CRISPR by itself anyway, even in a test tube. And it's also then effective in the body. So,
crazy.
I mean, yeah, no, we're talking about like we just really had an upgrade just now.
That sounds so much more useful than the CRISPR that I have at home, which usually just has a bunch of meat in it.
Right?
For real.
And way better than that shitty fucking salad restaurant, CRISPR's. Yeah. Fuck that place.
Hey, they've got okay soup.
Not a fan.
They're always out of whatever you want.
but
I've never had a bad experience there.
John, how far away are we from human trials on this thing? You said they're already testing on mice, but that's like, what, like 7-10 years before we get a human trial?
That depends on how you want to look at it. I mean, China's been incredibly bullish with this stuff in general. I mean, just like last week or the week before, they had announced, and I guess that this they had sort of kept it under wraps maybe and did it even earlier than that, but they've actually injected people with CRISPR before. China is winning the war on biotechnology because we're all like, oh, don't genetically engineer people. Well, that would be bad. And China's like, China will grow stronger. Sorry, that's a reference to Command and Conquer generals.
I wonder where they're putting it.
Well, China has
in the urethra.
Mobile, like,
wait, what are we talking about?
Prisoner penis. Execution stations. Like, they have RVs that go around for executions and stuff. So, you know, that isn't too surprising that they might be a little bit more relaxed on experimental procedures. They're probably just getting prisoners, you know.
True. Isn't that the same country that has those giant prison Michael Jackson dance alongs?
Yeah.
I don't think that's China.
No.
I feel like that was one of the other ones.
I think that's like a Southeast Asia. Maybe that might be Philippines or something. Mm.
It's still very impressive, though.
It is very impressive. It is very impressive, and also probably torturous.
Okay, so China has already started their own experimentations with this. What about America? Like, what are we doing here right now?
Legally, nothing.
I mean, legally, absolutely nothing.
However,
not even with mice.
I'm sure some of our guys are also working with China on it, so to speak.
So all of the experimentations are in China. Period, including the mice. Like, that's all China, America.
No, that was actually done by Salk, I believe.
Okay.
They were the ones that developed the Hitty specifically.
You said Salk, is like, that what it is?
Everybody is using CRISPR Hulk? Now to what do crazy stuff. But China specifically is the ones that decided, like, shit, let's inject it in this guy.
Hmm.
But where's Salk, though? What is that? What does that stand for?
It's the Salk Institute, so it's, you know, multinational, et cetera, blah, blah, one of those things.
That's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Is there any kind of timeline on their plans for this?
Yeah, I want to know when I can get spliced with an oyster.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole question, right? How long until we wind up with that one Batman Beyond episode?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Let's do it.
I mean, obviously, that's one of those things. Will this even be legal? Who the hell knows? Obviously, they're working on a couple of things. They're trying to get it so that it does more genetic engineering to more cells at the same time. Mm. You know, in other words, like a better... You remember that whole line that Terrell did in Blade Runner?
More human than human?
No. The one about rats leaving the sinking ship.
I thought that was a Rob Zombie song.
The ship still sinks.
Hmm.
So if you needed to genetically engineer every single cell in the entire human body, you would need a better delivery mechanism that could actually guarantee that. Right now, this does really well, and it's incredible. And, you know, maybe if you were trying to cure something like diabetes, you only needed however many cells to actually go over, maybe, you know? But if you needed all of them, then you need a much better delivery mechanism. But now we can actually work towards that. You know, this is another piece of that puzzle to be able to do it perfectly. As for a timeline, that's always, you know, bullshit. It's like how long to get anything through the FDA. You have to improve the technology. You have to trial it. You have to trial it again. Somebody has to pay for the trials. You know, work.
That's a start,
so
at least.
So 10 years probably before it becomes even slightly common.
And we'll see how scared people get of China and their progress in this to maybe right. Step that up a little bit, huh? Let's talk about something that everybody but me is a huge fan of, and I haven't invested the time. Stargate.
What?
I mean,
there's some new news.
I don't not like Stargate. I've only seen the film, and I watched a couple episodes of the first season of SG-1. I never got hooked, so that's just a lack of time invested, but all three of you have spent a shit ton of time on the Star Trek television universe.
Stargate.
Yeah, like, Stargate.
Yeah.
So a while back we were talking about how they were going to make a new like Stargate movie reboot, where they were going to completely reboot the universe, start over at the original movie and do like a three-part movie series of how the original creator was wanting to do things. Apparently SG-1 went in a different direction than he would have went. Yeah. I didn't know how to feel about that because you know, they're kind of erasing the old universe, etc. And
which
starting
is
over.
Massive.
So would they be remaking? Like,
hold on, because that was old news.
Oh, okay.
Record scratch.
The new news is that it's not going to happen.
Oh, what?
No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Maybe.
Yeah. In Hollywood, everything's not going to happen. Maybe.
Yeah. So I don't know how to feel about it because I was pretty conflicted before because they were erasing, you know, all the SG-1, all the Atlantis, all the Stargate universe.
But they could have rebrought it back to us in visual movie form, though.
Yep, it probably
and they could have redone Continuum and all those
though.
Other shit movies on TV.
It wouldn't have spun off into anything else. It would have probably just been three more movies, and then
it was guaranteed to show no respect to the television stuff, because the television stuff was not the byproduct of the original creators of Stargate.
Right.
It does make you wonder, though, like, what the hell they would have done, because, I mean, after 10 seasons or whatever the hell it wound up being, they pretty much covered every fucking possible base that they could.
So, I mean, do they have any talks of anything now? A series, one movie, something online, like, anything?
Well, what's interesting about it is that the way the co-creator was speaking about this particular instance hinted to them not willing to concede to the current state of the movie production cycle, that everything, all the major blockbusters are basically created by committee.
Yeah, it seemed like they were going to have to give up more control than they wanted to. So
yeah, like, you know, Marvel does a pretty good job of churning out movies made by committee, but say Warner Brothers with their comic book films don't. And whoever they were talking with, it sounds like they realized that it was going to slip out of control for them. And apparently, I didn't realize this, apparently there was a lot of independent production that went into the original Stargate film.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, because it looked very, very expensive.
Oh, yeah. At the time, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Big time. I remember seeing that not long after it came out, and it was great at the time.
I guess false alarm. It's not happening, probably, most likely, at least not anytime soon. And if you have had bitter feelings about the television show universe getting wiped, then it's good. It's all good. That's still the end, you know, the final word on Stargate.
So I'm still holding out hope that the Destiny will pull out into that other galaxy, maybe just a couple years later than originally intended.
Yeah. Well, have you guys heard about the Blade Runner movie that's going to be getting made?
Yeah, I'm pretty conflicted about that.
Now, I have a question. Is it a sequel or is it a remake? Or a prequel? Sequel.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Harrison Ford's in it.
I knew Harrison Ford would be in it. That's why I was like, I wasn't sure. The original does not need
just
to be remade.
Go through it's all beautiful. Of his old movies and just be like, hey, how would you like to be an old version of the original Aww. Character.
It does kind of seem that way.
Yeah, that's happening a lot.
There's a couple ways they could go about this. Like, if you asked me like 15 years ago, hey, you want to see a Blade Runner sequel? I'd be like, yes, and I want to direct it. But but the thing is that I don't like the present state of things. For example, this Blade Runner film is tied into the Alien cinematic universe. The Alien and Prometheus cinematic universe. The bonus content in the Prometheus DVD set up some kind of like corporate rivalry between Weyland-Yutani and the Terrell Corporation. And I don't like that. I understand
that seems like really reaching.
Yeah, it does. And I feel that it breaks the timeline a lot for such as it is. I mean, Blade Runner is already not copacetic with our present day timeline. But it just doesn't feel right. I realize that they're both, when it comes to the android component of both those stories, they're both about what is and isn't human and so on and so forth. It could be a thing, but this feels like a forcible insertion of a cinematic universe, because that's a way that they could, a tool they could use to get the motion picture companies to give them more money, because they love the buzzword of the cinematic universe, even though it's failed time and time again for everybody but Disney. And I mean, I love Ridley Scott, but Jesus Christ, Prometheus was a train wreck. It was a train wreck. He let that schmuck Lindelof like write one of his shittiest scripts to date. And that guy's written some shitty scripts, believe me, you. And oh, God damn. It was a beautiful film with the shittiest dialogue and the fucktardiest plot. So I know, unacceptable. Don't mix Blade Runner with that. I do believe it will most likely stand alone, but even a nod to that connectivity just annoys me. Ridley Scott's son, I can't remember his name, did make a short film that came out 3 or 4 years ago that was in the Blade Runner universe. It didn't directly reference anything specific, but it was very good. And maybe we could see something like that again. It would be cool. And the fact that Harrison Ford's in it is interesting, because in the director's cut, it is revealed that his character, Deckard, is a replicant.
Oh.
And
I was going to ask you if this is under the presumption that he is or isn't.
That's actually really exciting. Well,
Ridley Scott's not directing this one. He was for a time attached as director, but he is executive producing. So presumably it'll stay true to his vision because the Blade Runner film is nothing like Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, the book it's based on. So it's got to be true to that. They had such a big re-release of the like final extended cut version of the director's cut a couple years ago that's the definitive edition of the story now, and it still continues to even further point to Deckard being a replicant. So here's how I think this is going down. They're not jumping ahead 30 years into the future. We're going to see Deckard physically deteriorating as a replicant. That's why he looks like he's a million years old, because this is probably going to take place like a couple weeks afterwards, and Deckard is going to be old as shit because he's a ticking time bomb, and maybe they'll get what's her face in to play Rachel, and she'll be they'll be both falling apart together.
That could be cute.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the plot. I don't know if they released any details about the plot, but that's my theory. If I had to guess what his role is in the film, that's what I would say it is. Or alternately, they're going to use that Michael Douglas-y, Jeff Bridges-y kind of de-aging stuff to have a young replicant Deckard, and they might pull in Harrison Ford to play the templant of Deckard, which is a term that was invented in the novel Blade Runner 2, as in the human being after whom a replicant model was modeled.
They were like in Voyager.
You had to get the memories from somewhere, right? Yeah, that was the point.
Yes. The memories, the experiences, and all that. And bro, like you were saying, like in Voyager with the emergency medical hologram that was a scan of a character who later showed up in Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
And Voyager.
Oh right, and Voyager. Yeah. So that was an interesting device in Blade Runner 2 because it allowed them to bring Roy Batty back into the fold. Rutger Hauer's character, and it was cool because you were meeting like the real Roy Batty. I don't know that they got options, and they're both compelling options, and I would love this movie to be good.
Yeah,
but Nikki, I'm scared.
So what you're saying is one of these days I should watch Blade Runner.
Lord, what? Yes, it's one of the greatest movies ever made. Like,
oh my god, I used to have a Blade Runner umbrella that had the glowing.
Me too. Stick. It broke, but man, it's like
it was so awesome.
Yeah, it was so awesome.
Watch it, Boar. Jeez.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Yay.
Hey, okay. Hey, you got an HD DVD player?
Ooh.
That extended
you
edition.
You have one of those?
I do. I do. That extended edition came out in the HD DVD Blu-ray war, and guess which side I backed?
The side that sold like five?
Yeah, that's the one. So I can play it, but maybe I'll watch it again. I'll watch it any day of the week. Anyway, that's a show. Thanks so much for listening to the show. And if you like what you heard, well, nerdyshow.com/support. We'll show you all the different ways you can support us, including Amazon and Patreon and one-time donations. And like I said, you guys make us possible. So continue to make us possible. Coming up soon, we've got the top 20 nerdy things of the year. That's our annual list where we arbitrarily rank all forms of pop culture and life happenings on a scale of nerdiness, which we alone decide.
Do we win prizes?
No, they win the recognition. The recognition of being recognized by us, a small nerd outlet. But hey, for some people that means a lot.
Yeah.
One time we were featured on the homepage of Red Dwarf because they were so thrilled that we ranked them on this list.
Nice.
So you know, good things come in small packages. And Nerdy Show, our package is small, but we sure know how to use it. So
speak for yourself.
So we got that coming up real soon. It's both a podcast and an article. Pick your poison. And we also got the return of Dungeons and Doritos coming up real soon. I hazard to say exactly what day of the week it's going to appear, but sometime in December we will give you a Crunchmas gift. And that's going to be our long-running, much-beloved tabletop role-playing audio drama series coming back and having a wonderful adventure. And also, I will add, coming back on a monthly schedule. We haven't been monthly in a very long time. We took a hiatus that was far, far too long, and I feel terrible about. But before that, we were releasing every other month for production time. This time, we've gotten ahead of ourselves, so our goal is to make sure that shit never happens again. No more hiatuses, and we're coming out every month. We know you guys love consistency, so we want to be extra super-duper consistent for you. And if you haven't checked out the new season of Liberty, that's still coming out. That's a scripted sci-fi audio drama. And if you haven't checked out The Orphans, that came out in September. It's a limited series. It's only 7 episodes long. It's super fun. It's another scripted sci-fi, and you should totally check it out. What are you waiting for? Did I forget anything else? RIP Ron Glass, who played Shepherd Book in Firefly. He's dead. I'm sad to say.
Oh, and the mom from the Brady Bunch. I know that's not necessarily nerd related, but
some people really nerd out about Brady Bunch. What? There was an X-Files episode all about the Brady Bunch and a guy who was obsessed with the Brady Bunch. So yes. Yes. Florence Henderson.
Florence Henderson. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. A terrible year for deaths, and we'll be counting them down in our top 20 nerdy things episode.
Oh, yeah.
Get excited for that. Taking us out is a track from one of the most awesome nerdcore rappers in the game right now. This is Samus. She's just fucking, she's a badass rapper. This is a track about black female representation in pop culture and how there should be more of it. This is Perfect Dark.
Was important from Gory, and now 400 years later they cut us all out the story. When they couldn't ignore us, they gave us Bishop and Barrett. But where the women with origins from a black colored parent? We got Aurora Monroe, she kinda fly like a fairy, but really Storm ain't enough. I don't look like Halle Berry. They got their characters tailored to Farrah Fawcett's appearance. Even when they brunette, they favor Tifa or Eris. I ain't a nigga in Paris, I'm just a brown girl from upstate. A brown girl from upstate, a brown girl from upstate. Well, blacks is a rare thing from Monday till Sunday. Chitara, I love her, but she ain't look like my mother. So when I had to see color, I went to view Gullah Gullah. We got Sailor Moon, Mercury, Saturn, and Mars, and not one of them burgundy colored at all. It's that kind of thing hurting me. When I was small, I thought I had got third degree burns all along. It's like black girls wanna have a hero too. All kids trying to get that mirror of you. Cartoons gotta represent my hue. They got our doctors sick, they want the thorough flu. Black girls wanna have a hero too. All kids trying to get that mirror of you. Cartoons gotta represent my hue. They got our doctors sick, they want the thorough flu. Do any other black kid think it's all wrong? That Super Saiyan status make them all blind, blue-eyed, it's odd, yeah, something like an oblong. It's got me lost like I'm gone without my time-time, ha! You probably think I'm reaching, but when I started sketching, the first thing I could think of was drawing yellow dresses over pink-skinned faces, red cheeks and painting, big tits and lacing up envious of a race. You got a black girl sketching out Aryans based on an experience with various variants of comic books and animes. The shit was getting serious. Took a step back like professors that's emeritus. Yeah, I finally got a smile. All the bad thoughts abandoned me. Mama taught me how to be proud like the family. Had to wait until I saw that I'm a work of art. I love the game, but I'm the realest kind of perfect dark. Yeah, black girls wanna have a hero too.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.